Here with you through till 9 o'clock, and it's 13 minutes past eight this Sunday evening. Now, earlier we were talking about yoga. Thousands of people have taken part in a mass yoga program in the Indian capital of Delhi to mark the first International Yoga Day. The day, which is being billed as one to promote harmony and peace, is being celebrated around the world. The Indian Prime Minister, Narendra Modi, lobbied the United Nations to declare the 21st of June International Yoga Day. However, the day has raised a few controversies, as some say he is pushing a Hindu nationalist agenda. While joining me on the line now is meditation and yoga teacher Meeta Shah. Good evening, Meeta.
Good evening.
Now, Meeta, very briefly, what's the history of yoga coming to the United Kingdom?
I can tell you a brief history of coming to West that includes the US as well, but I think the first Hindu teacher that actively advocated aspects of yoga to a Western audience was Swami Vivekananda, who toured Europe and the US in the 1890s. And then I think in the late 19th century, and then in the 20th century, it continued with Sri Yogendra and N.C. Paul and Major Basu. So in the 1930s and 1940s, it started to get really popular because all the celebrities were practicing yoga. But more recently, in the 1980s, all the famous teachers you may have heard of, like B.K.S. Iyengar, Krishnamacharya, Pratabi Joyce, the Kundalini Yoga, the Yogi Bhajan, they've really introduced it and made it very, very popular.
Now, you mentioned there that many of the teachers, certainly the earlier ones, were Hindu. There's been some controversy around this day. People are saying that the Prime Minister is pushing this Hindu nationalist agenda, and this is part of it. What are the links of yoga with Hinduism? Can one practice yoga without having any kind of knowledge or appreciation or observance of the Hindu faith?
Absolutely. Why the yoga science, I think, has got labelled as Hindu is because, you know, this science and technology grew in this culture. It grew in that region. It grew in that geographical region. And what religion you belong to has nothing with your ability to make use of this yogic system because it's a technology, and technologies don't make distinctions as to what you believe in, what you don't believe in, because that's purely a psychological process. It's got nothing to do with making use of this. So I'd say yoga is Hindu just the way gravity is Christian, because Isaac Newton propounded gravity and he lived in a Christian culture, it doesn't make gravity Christian. And also the spiritual processes and technology of yoga predates all religion. So even before human beings started thinking of forming religious groups, the idea that a human being can evolve himself came from Adi Yogi, which is the first yogi, about 15,000 years ago. And yoga means union, so it can only unite people. And it's a great thing that the Indian Prime Minister has done to really spread this message to the world.
Now, yoga certainly has spread around the globe, and in many respects it's become a very successful multi-billion dollar industry, particularly in the West.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing that there was even an attempt by somebody in the United States to trademark or copyright certain yoga positions. Mm. Is there a difference in how yoga is practiced in the West and then back in India, for example? Is it far too materialistic? Has it been westernized here?
We do have to question the authenticity of yoga that is practiced in the West, but I believe even in the East now, a lot of places are practiced the same way. Because people think today of yoga mainly as postures of asanas, as just body twisting, essentially about fitness, flexibility, or building muscle. But, you know, the very definition of yoga means that which takes you to a higher dimension or a higher perception of life. So obviously, if that is yoga, then it demands a certain involvement of the body, the mind, the energy, and the innermost core. So, you know, unfortunately, something this profound is often reduced to a physical exercise. And the aim, hopefully, you know, what this International Yoga Day will do is set some of the misconceptions of yoga straight and really to bring more classical yoga back into the system.
Now, Meeta, I've seen these video clips and photographs of people in unbelievable positions where, you know, demonstrating their strength and flexibility and their ability to control their breathing. Mm. How easy is it to get into yoga? Somebody like me who's not the most flexible in the world, I mean, how easy is it to get involved, and how soon will one start to see results in terms of your flexibility, your posture, things like this?
From my experience, we're talking about here Hatha Yoga. So Hatha Yoga is mainly posture-based, and that sort of came into existence at roughly 1,000 years ago, where they felt, you know, that they recognized the physical body as a vehicle to awaken. You don't, you know, you're doing yoga because you want to balance your mind, your body, stay healthy, your spirit, whatever you want to call it, something which is beyond your perception. So anybody, absolutely anybody, can do yoga, and they will feel a sense of harmony. They will feel a sense of ease. From my experience, from my classes, you know, the first thing, the human condition is the same. We are ultimately all the same. We suffer the same things. And in this world, you know, people are looking for a way for better physical health, mental health, emotional health, and yoga offers this possibility. So you just got to find the right class for you, and you will notice the benefits.
Now, you say find the right class. I did a little bit of research before the show, and I was quite taken aback by some of the things I'd seen. Flying yoga, anti-gravity yoga, is this something you've come across? I'm sure it wasn't happening 1,000 years ago.
No, and I don't think it really happens much now, you know, in the classical sense. But this is what you've got to ask: is this really yoga, or is it just another form of exercise? And what do you really want to practice? Because asana, which quite simply means posture, so any way that we may sit or stand or position our hands is an asana. So how many asanas are there? There's innumerable asanas. But a particular posture that leads you to a higher possibility is called a yoga asana. And there are about 84 basic yoga asanas through which we can elevate our consciousness. So it's a way of aligning our inner system with the existence. So it's up to the individual, you know, what are they looking for? So most people are physical based, you know, they want to stay fit. They can go to the gym to do that, but that's what, you know, it's a trend. Yoga has also become an exercise system. But it's, I suppose, a good way for people to get introduced to it. And then over time, they become more aware. They want to go within themselves. They want to learn a bit more about themselves. And then over time, it may take them in that direction.
Now, you've been teaching for a while. I just wonder, a few of my friends who are martial artists, so it's very active, intense, violent at times, I suppose, also do yoga. They find that it helps them find stillness to maintain a calm persona during very difficult moments. Is that something you've come across, that people from different sports, you know, rugby, things like this, boxing perhaps, martial arts, are coming to you to supplement the training that they do?
Yes, yoga, I would say, is like a dynamic. The posture, the Hatha Yoga, is like a dynamic meditation. So certainly everything is in balance. So yes, you know, go and do your aerobic exercises, go and do your fitness exercises, but then, you know, come to yoga to balance all of that. Balance your, not just your physical health, but it's mainly mental, because everything that's happening, every experience that's happening is within us. And who should take charge of that? But are we really in charge of that? We're a slave to everything that happens. You know, we go up and down with it. We feel happy one moment, we feel sad the next moment. And why should that happen if we're in control?
Finally, the breathing aspect of it is something that's almost as synonymous with yoga as are the postures. Again, how easy is it for somebody to start to learn the skills to control their breathing, to regulate their breathing, to allow them to perform, you know, more aerobic acts or something to help calm themselves? How easy is it to learn?
It's very easy. There are very simple breathing practices like the alternate nostril breathing, and even just awareness of breath, just sitting and being aware of the breath. There's never any force, not in the way I teach it. And it all goes together. It becomes, because the way you breathe will affect the way you feel. Because when you're angry, you're breathing one way. When you're anxious, you're breathing one way. So we're using that breath as a tool to also control the way we feel. And it is very simple, if taught in the right environment.
When you say the right environment, and I earlier mentioned these flying yoga and the anti-gravity yoga, what should somebody be looking for if they're looking to learn authentic yoga, if I can use that phrase? Yeah. What should somebody look for? What are the right questions to ask a prospective instructor? What are the right signs to look for, perhaps?
Well, first of all, you know, where have they trained? And ask them, are they doing yoga as a daily practice every day? Because that's what a teacher really, if they're teaching, they should be practicing every day, you know, and be aspiring to become that yogi. And as far as practices go, the posture work, it's difficult to know exactly what question to ask. There are, every teacher might have a slightly different style because there are many permutations and combinations. But I think if you speak to that teacher, you'll really get an idea of where they're coming from and asking them, you know, how will this benefit me? And what is your purpose for teaching yoga? What is your purpose for doing yoga? And you'll get a sense of really where they're coming from.
Meeta Shah, thank you very much for joining me. Meeta Shah, meditation and yoga teacher. Thank you. You're listening to Eastern Air on BBC Radio Sheffield. Now, whilst I go and get the studio staff to assume the lotus position, I'm going to send you to listen to this track. It's called Tu Phir Aao by Awarpan.